Today we begin our journey trying to decipher the coded messages that we learned in our previous shiur about this interesting debate that took place between Rabbi Yeshua and the Chachmei Yavon, the Chachomim of Greece. And before we get into the details of what it actually means, each part of this debate, it's important we understand the method and style that was used to debate in those days. Those days, debates did not take place like they would do today. I would ask a question, you'd give an answer. The method of debating was bederech remez. That's the way they would debate. As a matter of fact, there's a famous Gemara Chagigah of Hayomid Beis. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, who's our Tana, he came to visit the Roman Caesar, and in the room with the king, and Rabbi Yeshua was an apikoidus, a yid that unfortunately at Zechishmat he converted to Christian, or whatever religion he converted to. And when he saw Rabbi Yeshua, he turned his face from Rabbi Yeshua. He went like this, he turned his neck. And Rabbi Yeshua responded not with words, he went like this, he stuck out his hand. That was the way they would debate. The king was very curious. He wanted to know what was going on in his throne room. People are turning their face. This one's spreading out his hand. So he asked Rabbi Yeshua privately what was going on. So he said, I know when the person turned his face, he was basically hinting to us that the Eibishter has already left the Yiddish people. The Eibishter had turned his face from Klal Yisrael. So therefore I spread out my hand to signal and to answer that the Eibishter still is protecting us. His hand is spread out to always protect Klal Yisroel. That was the way they would debate. The Gemara finishes off by saying that the king asked the apikoiris, what does he understand the question and answer to be? He said, yes, when I turned my face, that was the signal I was giving. And he asked, did you understand Rabbi Yeshua's answer? And he said, no. He said, well, for such a chutzpah, then you have to be killed. And they killed this person. That's the way life and death were decided. That easy and that quick. But that was the style of debates. To the extent, the Gemara continues and says that right before Rabbi Yeshua passed away, the people were very concerned because he was an expert at these type of debates. And they felt that if he's going to pass away, which of the Yidden are going to be able to stand up to all these Chachamim? So they asked, look inside, Amar Leila Rabbanon, my Tehevelon, what's going to come with us? Who's going to stand up for Klal Yisroel? So he said, don't worry about it. When I die, they're going to lose their seichel because the Eibishter has to make it even. So if I pass away, so the Goyim are also going to lose their seichel as well. The Yidden have nothing to worry about. But we see that the mode of debate was not the standard mode that we would assume that they would ask a question and you give an answer. Everything was debated, biremes, everything was debated not in the literal way. And therefore, obviously, the discussions that we're going to be analyzing between the Chachamim of the Greek philosophers and Rabbi Yeshua, they sound at first glance and second glance to be quite interesting, but you have to understand that there is a deeper message over here, and this was just the way they would debate. Now, I want to be open that most of the biurim that we are going to be saying throughout this month, they are mainly from three sources, from the Marsha, who has a whole long pirush on this Gemara, as well as the Maral of Prague, who has a long pirush on this Gemara, as well as the Vilner Goyen, who has a long pirush on this Gemara, trying to decipher and understand what were the questions and what were the answers. As a matter of fact, the JLI put out a whole course just trying to understand, go through this passage, this part of the Gemara. So now that we understand that there is a deeper message and a deeper meaning, let's start analyzing the Gemara. The first debate, the first question was, how long are snakes pregnant? For 3 years or for 7 years? Now, if you're going to go to any science center or any people that take care of snakes, they're going to say it's not three and it's not seven. It's probably a few months. In other words, the whole question seems preposterous from the beginning. I mean, 3 years or 7 years? I mean, snakes give birth much quicker than that. What is the even? What are even the two sides arguing about? They're arguing about something which is not factual. So obviously, there is a much deeper question. You think that the king called Rabbi Yeshua in to discuss how many years a snake is pregnant? That's the only thing that was on his mind? That was it? That was what's bothering the king? And he had to call the greatest Talmud Chacham of his generation to decide how many years snakes become pregnant? There obviously is a much, much deeper understanding here. So first, let's discuss who is the Nachash. When they say they're discussing the snake, what is the real discussion? So we have an interesting pasuk. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya, Peder Gidalet, pasuk Choftes. And the pasuk says, he's telling the Goyim, you think that you're controlling the Yidden. I have news for you. Al tismichi. Don't get so rejoiced. Don't get so happy. Because very, very soon, ki mishoyresh nochosh yetzei tsefa. Because very, very soon, a snake shall come from a venomous serpent. And basically, this snake is going to come and bite you and conquer you. So the Navi is foretelling, prophesizing about a certain snake which is going to come forth. So the Mefarshim are trying to figure out who is a snake. And look in Targum Yoinasan. He says, who are we talking about? Mibnei v'noyi de Yishai yipag Meshicha. That Yishai is the snake, and from the Nachash is going to come Moshiach. That from the children of the snake is going to come Moshiach. Where else do we find that Yishai is referred to as a snake? We have a clear pasuk. There's a pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Perek Yitzayin pasuk Chofei, where it speaks about Avigail Bas Nochosh, and the Gemara in Baba Basra of Yitzayin Amud Aleph wants to figure out, look, two lines from the bottom, V'chi Bas Nochoshi. What do you mean that she was the daughter of Nochosh? V'loi Bas Yishai hi. Wasn't she the daughter of Yishai? So why do we refer to her as Bas Nochosh? So the Gemara answers, Yishai is referred to as the Nochosh. Why? Because look at the beginning of the Gemara, Arba Meisu B'itav Shel Nochosh. There are four people that there was no reason why they should die. They did no Averis. The only reason why they died is because the Eibishter, after the Nochosh, the whole story with Chava and Adam, he said that people have to die. In other words, there's nothing in their own deserving, nothing that they did that deserves Misa. So Yishai was so perfect that the only reason why he had to die was that was the Gzeda that the Eibishter gave mankind. So therefore, because the only reason why he died was because of the Nachash, so therefore, he is called the Nachash. Now, if you think about it a step further, Nachash is Gematria 358, and Moshiach is Gematria 358. Nachash, this question about how pregnant a Nachash, a snake, how long lasts the pregnancy of the Nachash, is a real shaila about Moshiach. This was not a Gashmiyazdika debate on the pregnancy of snakes. It was a philosophical debate on Moshiach. Is Moshiach a 3-year process or a 7-year process? That's the real debate between Chachmei Yisrael and Chachmei Yovam. What is the question? So let's learn together a Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadik Zayin Omid Aleph. The Gemara there discusses a 7-year cycle that's going to happen before Mashiach comes. Tanu Rabbanon Chazal tell us Shavua Sheben David Baboy. In the Shemitah, in the year, which is the 7-year cycle that Mashiach comes, look what's going to happen. Obviously, we have to understand this Gemara deeper as well, but let's just take it right now on its literal face, and maybe a different series. We'll go through the Agadot Gemaras in Sanhedrin. It's a whole beautiful understanding in its own. But look what's going to happen. So basically, the first year it's going to happen, the Eibishter is going to start bringing negative to Yidden. Shana Rishona, the Eibishter is going to start, begin the process. In the second year, the Rav is going to start, hunger is going to start seeping into Am Yisrael. In the third year, by then, everyone's going to be starving. It'll be mamish mass death. It'll be mamish hunger. Mamish, it's at its peak of umesim anoshim v'noshim v'tav chsidim v'anshe ma'isim. V'toyra mishtachachas miloim del. Chsidim are going to die. Yeshivas are going to close. It's going to be a very, very scary corona year in this third year. But of this, the next year, the fourth year, it's already going to pick up a little bit. It'll be like, it's beginning to have a little bit satiated, and then a little bit not. But when it comes to Chamishi, it's already things are going to be better. People are going to begin learning again. And in the sixth year, Mamish, it's going to be Koilais. Everyone's going to feel the Mashiach. And all of a sudden, Shviz. In the seventh year, there'll be the Melchamais. And right after that, Mashiach is going to come. So however you're going to understand this Gemara, it's very clear that the 7 years are divided in two parts. Four bad years, which are the four beginning years, which are very bad. And 3 years, which are very good. In the eyes of the Goyim, when Yidden are suffering, that's not part of the Geula process. They say Geula for Yidden, Mashiach is only 3 years. The Nachash has only 3 years. When Yidden are suffering, they can't think that that's part of Mashiach. That's the Eibishter left them. Chachmei Yisrael say that the Nachash is pregnant for 7 years. Every part, even the negative part, is the process of Mashiach. Even when you think that you're having a Yerida, even when you think that things are negative, all 7 years are part of the Nachash. All 7 years are preparing us for Mashiach. What you think is a Yerida is a chelik of the Aliyah. And this is the debate. Is when Yidden are having a Yerida, is it separate from the Aliyah? Or if the Yerida itself is a chelik of the Aliyah? And the Hashkafa of Yidden, the Hashkafa of Chachmei Yisrael, is that no matter what happens to a Yid, it's all part of Bias HaMashiach.